Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to I Am Resistance and the End Times. This talk is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization, a call for abolition, abolition to the evisceration of the living world, the land base, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and the oligarchy that enslaves and deforms our minds. Resistance to this insane culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression. We seek truth in a culture of lies, violence, and kitsch. This is a call to action to those who will listen. A call to unite to abolish this toxic culture before it is too late. We must abolish civilization and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to end exploitation of all life and learn to live as awake living beings in tune with life, with the forbidden, connected with the forbidden. Our only hope for the future of the living world is to resist this insane culture. It must be stopped, and rebellion is the only way. Radical feminism is a guide to all who want to dismantle, not reform, the domination systems. Industrial civilization can be dismantled and never allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight industrial civilization. We must fight and abolish this way of life. Support resistance wherever you see it. Read, resist, think. Read, resist, resist. We must recognize the reality we're in. We must recognize the truth. The truth is that we're farm animals in a tax farm, but we're used to that. Hi, everybody. It's me again. And I'll tell you, I've been as consistent as healthy living in this culture. It just doesn't exist, and that's me. I don't exist when it comes to this slave. Doesn't have much time to himself. Busy, busy. Have to feed those children and be a good slave. So, you know, I do my best to talk when I can. And so, you know, I've had so much to think about in these weeks. And just haven't been able to get the time to be able to sit down and do a rant. Just too busy. No excuses. And no one cares. Ha ha, that's my best excuse, right? Nobody cares about what I have to say. So why do it? Oh, you know, you do it because you don't. You have to. That's you all have to do it. So in this talk, I've been thinking about since spending a lot of time with the documentary, the video, The Fuck It Point, which you all should watch again and again. Is how we are addicted to this way of life, how we are dependent on civilization, how we can't even think about what it is not to live this way. And I've had so many conversations over the years about the aftermath. People say, well, what if we did dismantle civilization. There'd just be another civilization. There'd still be the need for order and da-da-da, you know. And they just regurgitate the same ideas. They just assume that a dismantling of this will just, we just need another system. It's always about systems. How do you replace a bad system with a good system? How do you replace bad leadership with good leadership? How do you get rid of greed and facilitate altruism, the old ethical debates about, you know, doing what's in the best interest of the community over just the filthy greed of a few, which again is pure mythology. And I mean, and again, I respect myth a great deal in the sense that myth doesn't mean a bad word. I mean it in the sense that it's more of a fantasy. This has been a fantasy that civilization was ever anything other than domination, exploitation, and rape and murder of the living world. And, you know, most people will say, you know, and I, when I talk to them, is they're very fixated on themselves. And, you know, selfishness is promoted at every turn, because if you're not selfish, then you're not taking care of yourself. If you're not selfish and solipsistic, which means that you only believe your perception is reality, then there becomes this gap. You become even more disconnected, which is nothing further could be true. It's not true at all. Just as being dependent on the system, addicted to civilization, is a truth, but it's not actually true if we look deep. What we are has been conditioned, domesticated, traumatized into thinking only in terms of this way of thinking. And we don't go into the roots. We don't look at what it means to relate to life. We only look at what it means for my ego to relate to things that I like and dislike. So we're boxed into this superficial, toxic psychology that is all of human psychology that we like to call human nature, is a domesticated, fractured, damaged, you know, mortified way of being, as Eric Fromm would call it, the having orientation. Everything is premised on greed and consumption and infinite consumption. It's just sucking up everything and then leaving it and discarding it, which is where we are. It's where we live. That's the addiction. The addiction is that we keep going back to this toxic way of life because we can't see any other way. Our entire psychology is about, you know, creating coping skills and all this nonsense to be able to basically be a good slave. And so we never question that at all because we can't. It's the whole conditioning process that cuts off those neural pathways, if you will, to be able to question anything, to be able to see something. Even though it's deeply embedded in our instinct, which is that need to connect. And that need isn't in the sense of desire, as we would like to call it. It's something very, very basic, something that is without words. To connect is not a psychological thing. It's not a feeling. I feel connected. I don't feel connected. But in the sense of living in disconnection, which is what it is to live in civilization and cities, disconnected from nature, which again, nature is just a construct that we've created out of this void because we're not connected to it, to this discourse, which again is words, which is dependent on meaning, which is always disconnected. See the pattern here? What we're missing is connection, and connection goes right to being alive, living. And I think we can't see that readily. It's not easy for us to see that because, again, from birth, all of us, there's a fragmentation that begins. We start to use language. We start conditioning right away. We start, you know, how do I know this? I have many children so I can overpopulate the world, because you all love overpopulation because everybody wants to complain about it. And the children, just as we are domesticated for us adults, because we know no other way. And again, we only want to problem solve. See, once I set up that problem, like you've just heard, is, oh, we're conditioning children. How can we stop that? See how we're taught to go right into that. Oh, then what can we do to not deform our children, as opposed to see that every aspect of our way of life deforms us? We want easy answers to a complicated addiction, to a complicated dependency on a toxic way of life that is extremely powerful, extremely deep, and has done terrible, terrible amount of damage to us. We see in the Fuck It Point. We see in other documentaries. I think another good one is Subconscious Wars that shows us how terribly damaged we are, and how we can't see anything. We can't see it. And seeing isn't the same as knowing. Seeing isn't the same as talking about something. Seeing something is almost mystical, and people hate the mystics. They hate talking about anything in depth that doesn't speak to their rational, discursive way of thought, which is the only way they think is, just as they all they think exists is matter, all they think exists is time, all they think is existed is human civilization and human supremacy, which, if you spend any time in history, any time in philosophy, any time in sociology, any time looking at humanity, you see that this way of life, this addicted, toxic way of life, has only been a short period of time. And at the same time, when you really look at the nature of time, you see it's part of a great lie. But again, that's too much depth. It's, you know, we're cut off from anything that doesn't fit into the media. I think of media as just a medium. And again, when there's only one medium to relate to the world, which is an addictive, harmful way, which is any time it doesn't fit this ideology, it makes no sense. Or it's just dismissed outright. So what we do is we do anything possible to maintain the addiction at all costs. The addiction to living in cities, which that's what civilization, the propagation of living sedentary, destroying the land base, and then having to go get more stuff for that. So as Derek Jensen would say, we could all be junior bodhisattvas and we'd still have to spend $600-700 billion on the U.S. military to make sure our interests are looked after. And not to mention to keep the so-called civilian population under dominance, because what they want to do is say, okay, hey, here's your privileges. Do you like your privileges? To get you only to think in terms of what you have versus what you don't have, to even to think about questioning or rising up against just the rampant wholesale injustice that we see that is civilization, the rape murder fest. I said that online and Facebook, and someone responded, well, I haven't seen any rapes, but I stabbed a guy who tried to take my stuff. I'm all like, you're missing the point. There's really no point to talking to people who to pound their chest and play like they're a tough guy, you know, in that sense, and say, oh, well, you know, oh, civilization isn't so bad, and oh, any alternative is just as shitty. And you're like, again, you're not looking at the horrific cruelty that goes on here. Because you were trained not to, by design, you know. Never. There's a great Upton Sinclair quote I've used many times: "Is never underestimate a man's willingness not to see things when their livelihood is dependent upon them not seeing." To paraphrase, that's a pretty good one, you know. Never underestimate our willingness to be in denial about the horror of civilization. And then if I call myself a slave, the people will just flip, you know, oh my God, you're not a slave, white man. As if domination systems are premised based on race and white people, which, yes, the dominant culture is that color, but they themselves have created race, and the dominant culture has created race. So if you see race for what it is, it's just a labeling system, no different than physics. It's there to dominate, just as physics is there to dominate. To see the systems for what they are, to see what knowledge is in the system, is about domination, to keep us cut off and only to think in their way of thought, to seeing the addiction and to stop identifying with that which addicts us, which is civilization, to stop identity altogether. Identity is the addiction. To see ourselves in what people say, to see ourselves in language, is to have self, and self is identity. To say, I am that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, is no different than say, I like, I dislike, I like, I dislike. And that captures us in passivity. Now, pacifism keeps us docile. Docile and purposefully willed ignorant, as a Greek would say. We will ourselves ignorant to the fact that this is the most cruel, cruel, brutal way of life there ever could possibly be. Said, oh, this is the best possible world. And I said, yes, and I would always say the best possible worlds for cruelty and brutality. We murder 59 billion animals a year that we consume. Because, and the point is the point to that is that we are banal to the cruelty of it. It doesn't even register to us. No different than how we farm, the agriculture, the industrial agriculture, how brutal it is to the land. It's just pure brutality. It's like always pumping and injecting and, you know, gushing stuff all over it, whether it's, you know, pumped up water or what have you. It's just always being brutalized constantly, and we don't see it at all because we are numb to it. That's what addiction does, right? It numbs us. So we don't see anything. We're literally in like almost comatose. We don't really feel anything, but we think we do. We make stuff up to feel. We're miserable creatures. If unhappiness was an addiction, we're addicted to that. But happiness is, again, part of a ridiculous discourse that in this wheel of nonsense, the individual is a slave to this massive system. And for anyone to deny that, you're like, holy smokes, man. I mean, you can't even say, oh, wake up. It's beyond that. You know, it's that whole, you know, how lost can we be? And then, of course, those like myself who want to walk around and say, oh, I'm awakened. Whatever. In that sense. I'm just ranting. I'm just some fool, just like the rest of you. Do I have knowledge? You know, sure. As much as Derek Jensen or, you know, Eric Fromm or any of these people do, whether it's a writer like Franz Kafka or whomever. We're just here trying to understand what it is to be alive, and we see something, and that seeing is an insight. It isn't necessarily knowledge. And we all sense it. We all sense the addiction. We're all part of it. We all know we're there. We're slaves. And to deny ourselves that slavery because it hurts our psychology is so corrosive. I mean, it's literally that type of insanity that we don't want to talk about, where we're so solipsistic that we can't see anything. We're so disconnected. We're so isolated that nothing gets through. Nothing gets through. Nothing that nourishes us gets through. It's like eating the standard American diet. It's just all gunk. It's literally poison. But if you tell somebody that they're eating poison, they'll flip out. They'll be like, no, it's not. They get defensive. They're like, oh, you just ate a bunch of processed food, which according to your scientists is the number one cause for why your immune system is failing you. It destroys your immune system. No, it doesn't. Like, well, but your science that you tout is so important. See, this is what I get back to. We need to challenge this. We need to realize that we're in occupied territory. We need to stop identifying with it. We need to challenge it. And nobody wants to. And you could say, well, that must be very frustrating. I'm like, whatever. What's frustrating is that we're slaves. What's frustrating is that we kill 59 billion animals a year. What's frustrating is we're destroying the living world and leaving it uninhabitable, that we, you know, kill 200 species a day, according to some. So we can live this way. There's no alternative. It has to be abolished. We have to abolish the addiction. We have to abolish this way of life. We have to abolish following. What we need to do is cultivate connection. And I don't mean that psychologically. I don't mean that physically. We know what connection is. It's a part of us. It's our instinct. I hear people always trying to solve the problem. They want to solve the problem. Oh, we just need to, you know, consume less. We need to stop having children and not overpopulate the earth. It's too late. We need to, you know, have be environmentally conscious, take shorter showers, you know, eat locally. All those things are great. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't do. Absolutely. We need to do all that. We need to live locally. We need to end transportation. We need to end all this stuff. We need to abolish it altogether and not just think about, oh, well, you know, how are we going to live otherwise? We have to first address the fact that the power base isn't going to let go. They'd rather kill us all. They'll kill us all before they let go of the power, before they walk away. There's no way they would walk away. Why would they? They have a $700 billion military that will crush any bit of resistance. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about documents. They don't care about principles and ideologies. They only care about themselves. That's their principles and ideology. Power for power's sake. As Marilyn French would say, the power worshipers who are so disconnected from reality and could care less about human suffering, let alone animal suffering, let alone the suffering of the living world, there's no relationship for them. They are the definition of cut off and alienated. And that's what we promote at every step. We are the farm animals, and nobody wants to see it. All we're trying to do is improve our position in the farm. That's what most people do. When I talk to people about rising up, they look at me and they giggle. I giggle too, because it's just too serious. They just can't comprehend it. They're like, oh my gosh, let's go watch a movie. I mean, we spend, you know, so much of our time making sure we're not paying attention. I read an article the other day how young men are so disillusioned with their jobs that they're playing tons and tons of video games and they're not really finding better jobs. Well, there are no better jobs. I work with a lot of 20-something, 30-something people who all they're trying to do is improve their slavery. That's just, they want to improve their privileges and shut you down if you question anything. They just, they're chronically depressed. They're terribly unhealthy. They eat dog crap all day. And most of them use some kind of, you know, drug or medication or tobacco products or what have you. And they're terribly addicted. And when you sort of suggest to them to live healthier or to see that their depression isn't just simply biological, but by the fact that they're living in just a completely depressed culture, which is all culture and civilization, that they're so disconnected to life that they're literally feeling this terrible, terrible sense of meaninglessness. And all they're doing is promoting the nihilism that sort of brings them there. And there's no way out for them except trying to find a different type of addiction, whether it's video games or, hey, let's go for a hike. Hiking can be as much of an addiction. So it's this whole thing of the adjustment psychology as opposed to the breakthroughs that are needed to challenge our narcissism and egotism that keep us steeped in the having orientation, as Frome would say, keep us addicted to this way of thinking that says, I can only go back and forth and go, oh, I got to solve the problem, as opposed to see it for what it really is, to go to the root of it, to look at really what it is to relate in a disconnected, separate way. To be conscious is to be separate. So to not be able to relate to anything except in psychological terms, which we know are hollow and empty. So to go deeper into what it is to be awake in that sense, to be awake to feeling, but I don't mean it in the sense of filtering it through ego, but to directly experience something. Again, I lost all of you a long time ago, and nobody's listening anyway, so let's be real. So all of those out into the universe that I share this thoughts with, you know, connection is not about any of the things that are in our minds. It's just simple. Connection is to be, to connect in that sense of having totalness with what is, with people, with life. We all experience it in our instinct. We just don't know what it is. To see what that connection is that's beyond words. It's not just about filtering it through the egocentric, you know, through words. Love. We love that word love. We're in love with love, but we don't actually experience love. We don't identify. We identify with the word, but we don't experience it because there can't be love when there's separateness. Love is connection. It's that non-separateness where you're there, you know, collectively with life. And it's not just with humans. It's not just with these categories, these up categories, but with life itself, with that sense of being that is outside of words. And if it's outside of words, then it doesn't exist. If it's outside of time, oh my God, we're completely lost. We live in a penal colony, and we are enslaved by it. And it's not a matter of perception. You know, we can pound our chests and say, well, I'm no slave, motherfucker. Like, Until you piss off the authorities and you're dead. Until you challenge anything and say, oh, I don't want to live in civilization, so you go through the routine. I'm going to go live in the mountains. Well, who owns that land? You can't eat. You can't stand. You can't drink. You can't breathe unless it's under their control. And the only way to face that is to work to abolish it. We didn't abolish slavery in 1865. We just applied it to everyone. Wage labor is slave labor. Living in cities, living this way where we have to industrially rape the earth so we can consume it. Where's the goodness in anything here? That word, good. There is none. Addiction is something that you have to face head on. And it's a word, it's an idea. But you see it for what it is. It's not biological. It's enslavement. It's the worst form of dependency. We want it. We want it. And we're happy to rape and murder to get it. We don't care. Because we're disconnected and we don't feel. So as when everyone says we are a culture of sociopaths, I guess they might be true. Though sociopath is a category of absolute nonsense. It is. We're a whole people who are disconnected from life. Disconnected, alienated, and we don't have any direction that shows us the way except lies and consumption. You know, we are the walking dead because we're already in collapsed territory and we just don't want to see it. Until next time, boys and girls. If there is a next time, because, you know, it's a dangerous time to be talking out these days, we'll still do it. Fight. Resist. Resist. Fight. Until next time. Find the truth.